Hello, listeners. Welcome back to the Nova Scotia SBCA podcast. I'm Taylor Hustis, and I am so happy that you're here with us today. We have a special treat for you. Joining me today is none other than Natalia Hansen. Natalia is a Colombian and Canadian citizen who migrated to Canada back in 2009 and attended college to become a veterinary assistant. She worked in that industry for 6 years, and during that time, she developed a passion for animal advocacy and fundraising, which led her to pursue a second career in public relations. Natalia joined Humane Canada in 2016 as a public relations intern and has been involved with them in a variety of roles. Currently, Natalia is a marketing consultant for their events team and is very, very, very busy preparing for Humane Canada's Summit for Animals conference happening right here in Nova Scotia from May 5th to the 7th. So, first things first, thank you for being with us. How are you doing today?
Thank you, Taylor. I'm super happy to be here. Thank you so much for this opportunity. Very excited to chat with you for the next little while.
Yes, it's going to be so much fun. So just so that we can get loosey-goosey, we're going to jump into a round of Go Fetch. So this is our fun lightning round where I'm going to ask you a few questions just so that we can learn what makes you you. So here we go. Squeak, squeak. Okay, so number one, who was your very first pet?
My very first pet, her name was Papsy. She was a French poodle, and I had her since I was about 7. So I always wanted a sister, and I didn't have a sister, so she was my sister, my canine sister, because we were the same age when I got her, and she passed away when she was 15.
Oh, wow. Well, I'm so sorry for your loss, but I absolutely know what you mean, how they are just like your best friend, your sister. I feel the exact same. My very first pet, his name was Boots, and he was a tuxedo kitty. I was absolutely obsessed with him. And you just can kind of tell all the secrets that you can't really tell your like your family members and your friends, right? So yeah,
exactly.
Absolutely. I feel you there. Okay, so number two, if animals could talk, who would be the rudest?
The rudest animal? Ooh, I think, I know many people may say cats because they kind of have the reputation of being sassy, but I'm just going to go with something maybe unexpected, like a squirrel. I feel like I could totally see them like swearing off at cars when they're trying to cross the road, or dogs when they're chasing them and they're, you know, rushing up a tree trying to hide away from them. So I think it's a squirrel.
I love that. Like a little spicy squirrel. Perfect. And who do you think would be the nicest?
The nicest in terms of speaking? I don't know why like a dolphin comes to my mind.
Yeah.
I could picture them being like very softly spoken and like very peaceful.
Yeah. Very peaceful, very kind. Just want to hang out and play. Yeah. I hear
you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And number three, last but not least, you are such a champion for pets. But who is your hero?
Who is my hero? I think that she is a hero in a lot for a lot of us working in animal welfare. And I have to go with Dr. Jane Goodall. She's an inspiration because, well, one, she's a woman and she was a trailblazer at a time when women still were on the outskirts, you know, of society. And especially with the things that she was doing, with the research that she wanted to conduct, she really, I feel like, paved the way for a lot of scientists. And this is really cool because I feel like she paved the way not just for female scientists, but for science in general. Yeah, we were so close with Humane Canada to host the Summit for Animals, which we'll get to, in 2020 in Victoria, BC. And Dr. Jane Goodall was going to be our keynote speaker. And I had been assigned with the task of being like her personal handler. And I was over the moon. I was literally going to make like BFF bracelets for her and I. Not really, but you know, in my mind, I'm like, oh my gosh, we're going to be best friends. I'm going to be with her one-on-one, side by side. And then the pandemic happened. So we couldn't host the conference in Victoria. We moved it online, but I was heartbroken, partly because I was going to hang out with Dr. Jane Goodall.
I mean, who can blame you? Such an inspiration. I love that.
Yes.
That's a great answer. Well, that was Go Fetch. Okay. Before we get to talk about the conference, I would love to learn more about the path that brought you to Humane Canada. So take me back to the very beginning. What sparked you to want to work in animal welfare? Was it something you always knew that you wanted to do?
Yeah, well, as you said at the beginning, when you were introducing me, I moved to Canada for post-secondary education. As a child, as many young girls, I wanted to be a vet. But then I'm going to be super honest, I am not very academic. I am more hands-on. So the thought of me being in school for 8 years or so was very daunting and boring. So I took a one-year course in Canada called Veterinary Assistant. So I graduated. I worked in the field, as you said, for about 6 years, but I knew I wanted to go back to school. So when I was ready, I applied to go into vet tech because I figured, well, I'm already in the veterinary path. I might as well continue on the next step. And my boss at the time, may he rest in peace, Dr. Stewart, he advised me not to. And I was surprised because I thought, wait a second, you should be encouraging me to continue in vet med. But he saw other qualities in me, and I will always, always be super grateful. And I know that if he was still alive, he would be proud of the work I'm doing right now. And he encouraged me to go into something else. He was like, you're creative, you're good with people, you're this, you're that. And I'm like, me? Really? So I just looked up something else, and I literally went through the college catalog and thought of what else can I do. So public relations caught my attention because it had a little bit of advertising, fundraising, communications, marketing. For me, it was like the whole package. So I took that program, and I knew I always wanted to continue working with animals. When I was working in vet medicine, I was supporting the Ottawa Humane Society because I was living in Ottawa, and I would rally up my coworkers, and we would do the annual walkathon and the national cupcake day. Like basically all fundraisers, I was participating, I was leading, and I noticed that I loved that. I loved the fundraising part. I loved the advocacy. I loved talking to people about animal welfare. And I went into PR knowing very well that I wanted to continue on that path. So I was super lucky because when it was time for my internship, I got it with Humane Canada. Back then, it was known as the Canadian Federation of Humane Societies, and this was in 2016. So I became involved with them. And like you said, when you introduced me, I've been involved with them since then in a variety of roles.
Well, I feel like it's very... It just really goes to show how amazing Humane Canada is, that once you start with them, you just really want to stay connected to them and no matter what role, right? So, yeah.
That's exactly how it's been, because it's I haven't been like continuously with them for 2016. I've also worked at the SPCA level like you. I worked at the Hamilton Burlington SPCA in Ontario. I worked in the development department there for about a year and a half. And so I've always somehow come back to Humane Canada on different roles as a consultant, as a staff member. So it's really cool. I honestly just can't picture not working with them at any capacity ever.
That's so amazing. And I'm so envious that you knew what you wanted to do whenever you grew up, or at least what field, right? If you were to ask me whenever I was younger, I would have told people that I wanted to be an ice cream scooper because I knew that ice cream made people really happy. And I just knew I wanted to be involved with something that would make people happy.
That's so sweet. But you know what? Kids are so cute. We have the purest feelings when we're kids because like you thought of happiness, right? Like you wanted to give people happiness. So in your child mind, you thought, this is how I'm going to make them happy, by giving them ice cream. When I was about 3 or 4, I remember I used to say I wanted to be a nurse because I wanted to see people's hearts.
Oh my God. That's so sweet. It's so precious. Oh, kiddos.
Yeah.
Okay, so you completed your education to become a veterinary assistant. What was your experience like when you were in that field?
Loved it. Honestly, I loved it. It was a great career. It was a great field. I guess what I liked about that job is, for me, it was a job where, you know, you would finish your shift and you go home. Well, yes, sometimes you do take some emotional toll home, right? If, for example, an animal passed away. But I feel like with the work that I have now, and especially working from home, the lines are a little bit blurred when it comes to working and home life. But yeah, it really was my entry step into helping animals in Canada. I developed great relationships with lots of our clients, people who have now become friends. And without me knowing, working in vet medicine was what led me to the career that I'm doing now, right? Like getting involved, like I told you earlier, with fundraising, with advocacy, by participating in these fundraisers with our local Humane Society. There were tough days, of course, right? Like a lot of people think sometimes when you're a vet or you work in vet medicine, you're just cuddling puppies and kittens all day and it's all sunshines and rainbows. And there are a lot of tough moments, you know? It's tough sometimes when a person or a family comes in and their pet is unwell and, for example, they can't afford treatment, which is actually one of the subjects that we're going to touch on at the conference, the access to care. How are we going to support people and communities that have little to no access to veterinary care? So those moments are tough because, you know, you want to do so much, but sometimes your hands are tied. But I felt like the positive moments outweighed the bad moments. So I have lots of amazing memories and, you know, a couple of like scars from some scratches and bites and just memories that will last forever.
Yeah, you're just looking at your hand. You're like, ah, that was fluffy.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, yes. It's interesting hearing about the veterinary assistant program, because we actually have one of those programs here at the Nova Scotia SPCA College of Animal Welfare. I'm not sure if you're aware of that or not, but basically we started that because we really wanted to try to improve staffing shortages in the industry. So our program is really, really unique because we have one of our shelters and our hospitals right beside the college. So it really just gives students that hands-on approach, which is absolutely wonderful, right? That there's nothing like actually bringing just that textbook learning to life. So if anyone is listening and is interested in learning about that program, we are still accepting applications for the 2024 class. It starts in September. Just head on over to sbcacollege.ca. But okay, so back to you and Humane Canada. So for listeners that aren't familiar with Humane Canada, can you share a little bit about the important work that Humane Canada does?
Yeah, for sure. So as I said before, the name of Humane Canada was Canadian Federation of Humane Societies. And it's because when we were founded, that's what we were, or we still are, of course. But back then, I felt like we had a more a role that's different than what we do right now, where we are more including, for example, educational opportunities through the Summit for Animals is a perfect example. But in summary, we work to end animal cruelty, improve animal protection, and promote the humane treatment of all animals. We work at the parliamentary level, advocating for stronger laws for animal protection. We still have a role with our Humane Societies and SPCAs, of course. We're still their federation, Nova Scotia SPCA being one of our member societies. And we have expanded. Like when I started with Humane Canada in 2016 as an intern, including myself, I believe we were about 6 or 7 people, and now we are probably close to 20, perhaps.
Wow, that's huge. That's a lot of growth.
Yes, yes, it's a lot of growth. And the good thing about the pandemic is that it allowed us to bring in people, talented people, from across the country, because before we were headquartered in Ottawa. So it was a little bit more challenging to find great people. And now we have staff members in Nova Scotia, in BC, in Ontario, in Alberta, basically all over the country. It's really cool.
Well, and that's really amazing too, to have those diverse voices from all across Canada, right? So that everyone has that unique ability to know what's happening in their community. And then collectively, then you can share what's happening all across Canada. That's amazing. And whenever I really think about Humane Canada, I always just think about how you guys are kind of the go-to like national voice for everything animal welfare. And that is a huge undertaking, but I can imagine it's very, very rewarding as well. So is there one thing that kind of sticks out as something that you're particularly proud of that you and Humane Canada have accomplished? Maybe it's one of the bills that you guys have championed and helped to pass, or maybe it's a pet that kind of left paw prints on your heart. What kind of comes to mind?
Yeah, definitely. Well, as I was just telling you, we've grown a lot. So I'm going back to 2018 or 19. Oof, I have to remember this. But back then we were still a small team and I was the only person working in the marketing area. And we were advocating, we were working with other organizations to pass a bill. It was called Bill S-203. but the fun name was the Free Willy Bill, as in the movie, as in the whale. And the bill aimed to ban the captivity of whales and dolphins for entertainment purposes. And I remember I was in charge of, for example, drafting a petition campaign or social media posts. And I would do it. And I remember just seeing the impact of, putting out a post on our social media channels and asking people to sign that petition to ask their MPs or to ask the prime minister or the minister of this or that to support this bill. And then we would have, hundreds of people, if not thousands. So it was very rewarding for me to think, oh, wow, I just crafted this post in this little office from this little computer, and it had this impact. And then that summer, it was 2018. Oof, I can't believe I can remember right now, but I'm pretty sure it was 2018. I had the opportunity to go to Parliament when the bill passed. So
Wow.
it was a magnificent moment. Like, whoa, it was a historical moment, and it is something that Humane Canada have been advocating for many years. I came in at the tail end, but it still felt like I was part of that. So on a personal level and professionally, very rewarding, something unforgettable.
Oh my gosh. Well, yes. And I feel like decades from now, too, people are still going to be talking about that moment, right? Like, that's one for the history books for sure. So, congratulations and thank you so much for advocating for that.
Thanks.
Okay, so let's get into the really fun stuff. So, Humane Canada Summit for Animals Conference. Conferences like these are so important as we know that there's been so many advances for animal welfare. How many years has this conference been taking place?
This is our 11th year. So,
Wow, okay.
woohoo. We've grown a lot. We've surpassed. Last year, we celebrated our 10th anniversary. So now it's like we're on that second decade. 11 years of bringing the animal welfare sector together once a year.
11 years and going strong. Okay, so people who have been to the conference before, they know how amazing and educational that they are. But for someone who's going to be attending for the very first time, what can they expect from this conference?
So this year we have 3 days, one of them being optional. So we'll start with May 5th. So May 5th is an optional learning labs day. So we have five educational topics, things like enforcement, we have volunteer management and burnout, leadership, etc. And that is a more intimate kind of setting. It's going to be more hands-on workshops. So that's why it's optional and it's an additional cost. And then May 6th and May 7th is when we have our 2-day conference where we're expecting approximately 400 people. Then on top of this, it's not just, going to a lecture and sessions and just learning or know. We have a lot of networking opportunities as well. And then we have some fun additional opportunities. I know one of those is actually we're doing a tour of the Nova Scotia SPCA. In fact, when you were talking a little while ago about the program, the vet assistant program, which I have no idea you had, and it sounds amazing, and I want to look it up. I know that our participants of this shelter tour are going to be taken to, I believe, a hospital location. So I'm wondering if it's the same. I think it's the same. So that's
Yeah,
really
you're
cool.
correct.
So I love that the conference opens a lot of opportunities for people. People love to go into other shelters and just seeing how they're operating, how their kennel room looks like, their surgical room, etc. We have a fun networking opportunity on May 5th, so kind of to like kick off things unofficially in a more relaxed setting. So it's called the Night Owl Social on Sunday, May the 5th in the evening. We're gonna have live music, we're gonna have raffles, we're gonna have an airbrush tattoo artist. And yeah, it's just like a fun way for people to mingle and get together and get to know each other before the conference officially starts. And then we have a total of 10 educational topics. So like I said, on Learning Labs Day, we have enforcement, volunteer management, and leadership. We have animal care and behavior. And then on May 6th and 7th, we have outreach and integration, which includes subjects such as fundraising and marketing. We have wild and farm animals. We have access to care. So I definitely encourage people to visit the website. It's humanecanada.ca/summit, SUMMIT. And that's where they can see all of our sessions, all of our speakers, our educational topics, all of the activities that we have going on this year and more.
Awesome. And everyone is invited. It doesn't matter if you're animal shelter, rescue staff, vet professionals, students, or volunteer, right?
Absolutely. Exactly. Yes. Yes. Anybody who is in one way or another involved in the animal welfare field is absolutely invited. Normally, historically, we've had the majority of representation has been staff from humane societies and SPCAs, because when the conference started, that was the main audience. But we've expanded and we have policymakers coming. We have researchers as well. We have veterinary staff. Yeah. So it's a very broad conference that covers a variety of audiences.
Awesome. And it does just seem to be getting like bigger and better every year. I was looking online, it said 65 speakers, more than 40 sessions. Like, that is amazing. How many animal lovers are you anticipating are going to attend?
We are expecting 400. And to this day, the moment of this recording, I think we're going to surpass it, actually. Yes, we are very pleased with the numbers. People are registering, taking action. We are happy to see, you know, we're meeting our registration goals. We're surpassing them. We're just happy because we do this for you. You know, we do this because we want to bring the sector together. We want to provide these educational opportunities, this professional growth. So yes, you know, for us, it's cool to meet our registration goals, but it really is for you, for the public that's attending. So when we see people responding, when we see people eager to come, oh, it makes our job worth it.
Oh, it's going to be so much fun. And it looks like you just have such an incredible lineup of educational topics. So like you mentioned, kind of everything from animal care and behavior to tackling fatigue and building resilience, as we know, is very, very important. Is there one session that you're extra excited for?
Well, I think for me on a particular level, I'm more inclined to sessions that pertain to my role. I also have a non-for-profit where I do sterilizations for dogs and cats in Colombia, and I need to raise money for those. So for those reasons, I am interested in the fundraising and marketing sessions. We have one with team members from Calgary Humane Society. It's called An Introduction to Storytelling for Animal Shelters. And basically, they're going to touch on how has the landscape of marketing and communications changed over the years, right? Like right now, when we are appealing to another generation, you don't talk to Gen Z generation as you do to baby boomers. So how do we tailor the needs, the ever-growing needs of our demographics and society to fulfilling our own goals when it comes to raising money, raising awareness, or whatever our objective is. So that's a really cool one that I want to attend. There's another one as well with Catherine Lacefield from Just Because Consulting. She's going to talk about transforming animal-focused fundraising. So same thing, how has it changed? So it'll be really interesting because I'm sure that she's going to explore what fundraising looked like 30, 40 years ago, 20 years ago, to what it looks like right now, right? I guess with a decline in, for example, mail, are we doing a lot of like mail asks, or are we raising money through social media mainly? So that's going to be interesting. And then another one that's not related to marketing or fundraising, but I'm excited to be part of, is presented by our colleagues from the United States, from Companion and Animals for Reform and Equity. Their acronym is CARE. So they're going to talk about shifting the word outreach, because a lot of times we, in animal welfare, we say, oh, we're doing outreach work. We're going to this community in need, and we're doing outreach work. But how about shifting that to in-reach strategies? So we're going to talk about that to advance equity and human and animal well-being. So it's going to be really interesting to see what they have to say, because when I read the description of that session, I thought, oh, outreach, in-reach, what? Tell me more about that. So I can't wait to hear that.
Oh, that's going to be really interesting. And you also have industry leaders and experts as presenting speakers. Can you tell me a little bit about the lineup of speakers? Who will participants hear from?
Yeah, so it's really cool too, because if you look at the lineup of speakers, and if you've been to our conferences before, you may be able to recognize some names. So we love that because it shows us that our speakers like the experience and they want to come back to present at our conference and to use this as a platform to share their knowledge, their tips, their insights, etc. We have a couple of people coming from the United States. For example, we have Jasmine Robinson from the Association for Animal Welfare Advancement. Like I said before, we have four people coming from Companions and Animals for Reform and Equity. We have the Canadian Animal Assistance Team. We have plenty of Humane Societies and SPCAs. We've got Calgary Humane Society, like I mentioned. We have BCSPCA. I wish we had a bigger keynote speaker, I'm not going to lie, of the level of like Dr. Jane Goodall, like we were going to in 2020. But we will hopefully in the future. But yeah, it's quite a wide array of speakers. We have two of my colleagues from Humane Canada are going to speak as well, talking about collaborating cross-sectorally to support survivors of gender-based violence with animals. We have Winnipeg Humane Society, the Canadian Animal Task Force, and I mean, I could go on and on. We have 40 plus speakers.
That is awesome. And I think I saw for the Learning Labs, there's even a couple East Coasters there too. So very, very cool. Voices from all over. And exactly. I think that really neat thing about the conference too is that not only do you have the chance to learn in these sessions, but you also have opportunities to connect with people who are in similar roles or positions from all across Canada. That's what I'm most excited about because it's just so valuable. I mean, you can say it until you're blue in the face. Teamwork really makes the dream work. And we all just want the same thing for pets and people who love them to be protected. So one of the ways that people can do this is by joining the team at the Nova Scotia SPCA for a classic East Coast kitchen party in the evening after one of the days of the conference. It'll be held on Monday, May 6th at 6:30 p.m. at the lower deck. And it will be a night of live music, East Coast grub, and social drinks. Maybe even a Highland dancer make an appearance, aka me. but tickets will be available for conference participants very soon. So right now, I saw tickets are 80% sold and spaces are limited. So if people want to register before the conference sells out, where should they go?
Absolutely, yes. So all of our social media channels, anyone can find us on LinkedIn, X, I'm still getting used to saying X because I still call it Twitter. Instagram and Facebook, and we've got the information there. But if you want to go directly to the website, it's humanecanada.ca/summit, S-U-M-M-I-T. And you can read up on all of our sessions, all of our speakers, read up on all of the fun additional activities, like what you said, the East Coast Sociable. I'm very excited because I'm registered. I'm looking forward to that. And of course, take action and register. If there's a group of people of five or more, we also have special group registrations. So to help people save more money, we've ended our early bird rates. That was an opportunity where people could save money. But right now we have the regular rates going on. But honestly, with everything that's included in the conference, it's absolutely worth it. We actually did the math with my colleagues at the events team, and we figured out it's about $1 a day when you break it down. So we were thinking, wow, to think that you can turbocharge your career and make long-lasting connections that are no doubt going to help you for about $1 a day, wow, come on, it's worth it.
Oh, yeah, that's a real investment, right? And I saw that online, your website too, if your boss, board of directors, or husband or wife need some convincing, you actually have a drafted letter on the website that can be downloaded and edited for their needs. And it's so compelling. I love that you've thought of everything.
Good. Oh, good. I'm so glad you saw it, because that's what we want with that. Exactly. We noticed that a lot of people want to come, but it's not up to them. It's up to their supervisors, their managers, or even for the CEOs and executive directors, they have to get permission from their board of directors. Mm-hmm. So somehow, somewhere, someone has to ask for support, permission, financial support as well to attend the conference. So thinking about that, we wanted to give people an easy template that, as you said, they can edit and basically lays out why should they attend the conference. Because at the end of the day, your bosses always want to know, they're always going to want to know, how is this going to help us? How is this going to help your job? It's not just you going to Halifax to have some fun. Yes, Halifax is amazing. I'm super excited personally, but at the end of the day, you want to bring back some helpful information for your team members, for your organization, for the work you do for animals in whichever role you're in. So yeah, it lays out what are your goals with this conference, which sessions you want to attend. So it's a very convincing letter template that we want people to use so that they can make a strong case and get that support to attend the conference.
Oh yeah, it's really useful. And trust me, it is very convincing. I loved it. But before we wrap up, is there anything that we haven't chit-chatted about that you would want to add about the conference?
It's awesome. Obviously, I am biased. I work at the conference. I'm inside, so I'm always going to say that it's awesome. But it really, really is. Look, I was chatting with Mandy Evans. She is from the States. She's from an awesome organization called Better Together Animal Alliance. And Mandy is someone who speaks frequently at different animal welfare conferences. And she told me, and I know she said it honestly, I know she wasn't saying that just because she was talking to me, but she said, this is my favorite conference from the sector. And to me, oh, that meant so much, you know, because I thought, wow, she's someone who goes to like basically every single animal welfare related conference. And she says that we're her favorite. Thank you, Mandy. I love that. So yeah, I mean, it is obvious we always get really positive, amazing feedback from our attendees. They leave empowered, happy, feeling armed with the right tools and the knowledge and the connection to continue the work that they do. They leave hopeful. And one of the things that we heard, for example, last year at the end of the conference was how someone felt so uplifted after going through couple of tough years, which were the pandemic years, and feeling so isolated and, you know, just down, right? Everything that was going on in the world. And then she went to his conference and just left with a heart full of just love and encouragement and inspiration. And that's what we want. I also want to encourage people who may be thinking of going and are scared because they don't have someone to go with, like a coworker or a friend or a classmate. Go, please go. There are a lot of people who go by themselves. In fact, this year, to get them acquainted and warm them up, we have a special half hour first timers meetup on Sunday, May 5th. So anyone who purchases a ticket to the Night Owl Social, the evening of May 5th, will automatically get entry into the first timers meetup if they are a first time attendee. So it's just a way to, you know, bring them in, make them feel welcome and comfortable. We have something new this year as well that's called the Buddy Bench. So it's going to be a bench at the conference venue. And basically, if you see someone sitting there, it means they want to meet someone new. So you can just go and sit right next to them and strike up a conversation. So it's a nice way for people who may be a little bit more introverted and who may feel overwhelmed just showing up to a group of people and say, hi, nice to meet you. Just sit at the bench, wait for someone to come to you, strike up a conversation, and you have a new friend.
I love that. That's so beautiful. Honestly, you guys have thought of everything. But okay, amazing. So listeners, you heard it here. Humane Canada Summit for Animals Conference. It is heading to the East Coast for the very first time. The conference is going to be held in the new Halifax Convention Center, May 5th to the 7th in beautiful Halifax, Nova Scotia. Remind us again, Natalia, where do people go for information?
Yes, so go on humanecanada.ca/summit, SUMMIT. Or again, follow us on social media, Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, X, Humane Canada. You can find us that way and you can see all the information there.
Wonderful. That is a wrap. Thank you so much for joining us today, Natalia. The animal welfare world is very, very lucky to have you champion our cause and helping to create a memorable conference. And thank you to our dedicated and loyal listeners for joining us today. Hope you all have a great day and we'll see you in May. Yeah, don't you just love when things rhyme? In case you haven't heard it yet today, you are amazing. Cheers.